Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Next weekend marks the opening of the Harriet Tubman Underground Railroad Visitor Center. The center is a joint operation of the National Park Service and the Maryland Park Service. It's in a 17-acre park near the Blackwater Wildlife Refuge on the Eastern Shore. Harriet Tubman was born into slavery in Dorchester County, probably about 1822. She escaped in 1849 and then returned to the area more than a dozen times, leading about 70 family members and friends to freedom in the North, along a network of secret routes and safe houses known as the Underground Railroad. The visitor center includes displays about Tubman's life and her work as a liberator. It's also one of the stops along the Tubman Byway, a self-guided driving tour along 125 miles of countryside and shoreline on the Eastern Shore. The byway includes stops important to Tubman's life, such as the farm where Tubman spent her early years as a slave, and important to the Underground Railroad. Joining me to talk about the Harriet Tubman Underground Railroad Visitor Center is Chris Elcock. He served as project manager and is a senior associate at the Baltimore firm GWWO Incorporated Architects. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Your firm got this contract to do the Visitor Center in 2009, right?
That is correct.
What kind of research did you do?
Tons of research. Once we were awarded the project, we had to compete for it based on our qualifications and our design ideas. But once we received the project, we spent a lot of time on the site. We spent a lot of time talking with the locals. We actually visited a lot of the byway sites that you mentioned before. But some of the things that that I would point out that really made a big difference with us for our process was, so we read a lot of books. Who would have thought? Architects reading books. There is a wonderful biography called Bound for the Promised Land, and that's by Kate Larson. And we met her, and actually she remained on the project as a historical consultant. Her book is considered one of the best researched books on Tubman's life. And so cover to cover with that. But also we enjoy fictional work. And so I don't know if you've ever heard of a writer, James McBride. He wrote this novel called Song Yet Sung. And it's about this mythical Tubman character who lived on the Eastern Shore. And it is his vivid descriptions of the landscape. I mean, this area is very, very much like it was in her time. It's a region that you can still see is highly agricultural. You can still see that these agricultural fields give way to these thickets of trees. And you can begin to understand this tension between being exposed and having to know a landscape really well to escape through it.
So there you are with an assignment to make a building to tell Harriet Tubman's story, but her story, more than that of many famous people in history, is tied up. What she did is she did in the landscape, she did on the land. How did that inform how you designed this building?
Well, yes, the Underground Railroad is an outdoor story. It is a story of knowing your landscape and knowing your cultural environment. And there's so many little things about her escape missions that really inspired us. I'll give you a couple examples. You know, the fact that she went north and that she returned to the south at least 13 times that we know of, we actually took that and we used that as the organizing mechanism for the exhibits.
So
when you start on this journey, you see the north, and then we take you immediately off of heading north, and then you begin to learn about the Eastern Shore, Tubman, her early life, and then her decision to escape. And so just like any escape mission on the Underground Railroad, you didn't go just directly north because you would be easily caught. You had to hide. You had to find ways to throw your trackers off track. And remember, there are rewards for you. So this is a business. So one had to be really careful. And so we do that with the visitor. You're going to see what you think is the end of the exhibit. But when you get to that point, you realize that then you're pointed south because you come back armed with more information. And then the question becomes, would you dare to return for the rest of your family members after going through all of the horrors and all of those dangers? And this was something that she did. That kind of selflessness was something that really resonated with us. It's really important in the story, and we wanted to find a way to tell it. And then the whole idea of moving north, again, was something that reflects itself into the building. There is this long connector, and that link connects three pavilions, and it is under these three pavilions we tell the story. From the outside, you look at these three pavilions, and you may think, because they're clad in a different way, that, well, what does that mean? Well, those could be, we're hoping that people would think that they're metaphors for stations. And so we're only using
stations on the Underground Railroad.
Stations on the Underground Railroad. And so we tell the story underneath those volumes. There are actually four when you come there. The first volume is clad in wood, and that's more recalls the agrarian landscape. And we tell the your regular present-day functions. But the minute we take you back into history, then we put you underneath those three volumes.
So the first pavilion is going to look to me sort of like a barn. I'm going to feel like it's something related to a farm.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. It's wood siding and it's a metal roof. It's probably what you might expect to see. The scale is a little bit bigger because if we have a lobby and we're housing, you know, restrooms, and there's a library and a gift shop in there. But yes, that portion is kind of what you expect to see. The rest of the building, we hope will be very different. And it was important for it to be different because one of the things, again, when we looked at the story, was that Tubman returned all of these times to get one of her sisters, Rachel. She was never able to do that. It really inspired us to think about the fact that there were three fates of African Americans at that time. If you lived in the Eastern Shore, you were sold to the South and never heard from again. You may have stayed and lived your life in fear of being sold, or you escaped to the North and you may not have been heard from again. That's why there are three pavilions. It memorializes and it recognizes that there are African Americans in this community who may have been lost, and we have no way of acknowledging that.
What do you want visitors to take away with them?
This is a woman who is 5 foot nothing, 100 and nothing pounds, who wasn't able to read, who wasn't given that opportunity. She had a disability. I don't know if people know. If you don't know, you will discover that she did have a form of epilepsy. But this was an ordinary person who just stood up for what was right. I think that's the most important lesson here.
You've made me really eager to see it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Chris Elcock is a senior associate at the Baltimore firm GWWO Incorporated Architects. He served as project manager for the Harriet Tubman Underground Railroad Visitor Center. A week from Sunday, March 12th at 1 p.m., Chris Elcock will give a talk on the center's design. We've got that information at the On the Record page at WIPR's website. I'm Sheila Cass. Now I want to turn to Tony Cohen, an historian and founder of the Menair Foundation. It's a nonprofit dedicated to the preservation of Underground Railroad history. Tony Cohen joins us by phone. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you for having me.
Tony, you have retraced the footsteps of escaping slaves. You took, as I understand it, two trips, one from Maryland and another starting from Alabama, both ending in the province of Ontario, Canada. What did you learn about the skills this journey to freedom would have required?
The skills that were needed to escape slavery were the very same skills that were provided by the system of slavery. Those who traveled along the route we call the Underground Railroad were independent, often self-assured individuals who were weighing the risks and the dangers between those that they might face on an uncertain and unknown road before them against the world that they knew, which was rife with danger, separation of families, a poor health condition, and the violence of a culture that ruled over them. So they were very equipped. Along the way, they got assistance from others in terms of direction, funding, and whatnot. But belief in oneself, sturdy determination, and unquenchable thirst for freedom were some of the things that these people had with them as they traveled the route.
A week from Saturday, March 11th, at the Harriet Tubman Underground Railroad Visitor Center, you will be leading a simulated Underground Railroad journey. How do you do that?
The idea of my tour is to use the physical site and you know, what we have there, the ground, the sky, whatever the eye can see, to paint a picture that journey would have been like.
What artifacts do you incorporate?
I have samples of some of the flora that will be growing on the site, which reflect the native grasslands and fields, cultivated lands, and marshes that Tubman and others traveled. I use things such as runaway slave ads, which give the vivid descriptions of the people traveling on the journey, and have with me some of the similar artifacts, tools, and sometimes even weaponry that a fugitive might have, along with food items and other personal items from the time period that kind of bring those people to life.
Why is it important for people to be able to touch and feel those artifacts?
First of all, people are coming to this new center probably with a variety of aspirations and dreams and questions that they have about their past. And people today who go to heritage sites, who go to museums, they want an experience. They don't want simply, panels on a wall that they read. You know, they can do that on their phones or on their computers from home. But people want experiences that give them a little insight into their past, but, also bring up relevancy as to their own lives today. So museums and heritage sites and tourism in general these days are looking for ways to be more interactive, more engaging, and more tangible and tactile. So that's what we're going to try and offer them with the center's opening.
What do you hear from people after they've gone through one of your simulations? What do they find most eye-opening?
I find the programs that I'm involved with and my foundation is involved with, that the comments that are elicited most often are, wow, I never knew that. And I think, everybody approaches these museums and historical sites with some sense of the history or what they're going to see. And it's the element of surprise. It's the knowledge that, the Underground Railroad, for instance, it wasn't simply a route by which, people aimlessly stumbled along until benevolent people came out and helped them. The fugitive slaves of the past were some of the key architects of that railroad. So they were laying the rails and the ties of that system as they were rolling forward on it. Before you could travel the underground and get to freedom, you had to take the first step if you were enslaved and strike out on your own. With Harriet Tubman, her story is not that she rescued 300, strangers from slavery, but made 13 trips, and over 70 people, yep, the number isn't as big as 300, but 70 actual people who are part of an extensive network of family and friends from her own community. That's a much deeper and much more intriguing and poignant story. And who doesn't put family first? Who doesn't want that kind of connection and love of family and community? That's something we all know. And so for people to experience that at a historical setting and say, wow, those people weren't dissimilar to me or to my dreams and my aspirations, that's the thing that I hear most from people, which is most surprising to them.
I really appreciate your talking to us about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tony Cohen is a historian and founder of the nonprofit Monair Foundation. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have a link to the Monair Foundation and to information about the opening next weekend of the Harriet Tubman Underground Railroad Visitor Center. Lots of activities March 11th and 12th. We also have a link to an interview we did last spring with Kate Clifford Larson, biographer of Harriet Tubman. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Quick break, and then a Stoop story about a fortuitous mistake at the racetrack.